The Kingdom of Ai, Chapter 10, Fun City. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Exodus 32, 6b. When they finished eating lunch, Stephen stood up and encouraged the others to gather their bags. "We really need to be on our way. I believe we can reach the City of Seekers before nightfall if we get moving," he announced with a grin. The thought of finally reaching the City of Seekers made Stephen smile. He could hardly wait to reach the place that Andrew had promised would answer so many of their questions about the king and his kingdom of I Am. Just as the group of seekers stood up, they heard the sound of young people chattering and laughing. They glanced down the road and saw that a group of four people was headed toward them, walking in the same direction as they were traveling. "Do you think that they're also going to the City of Seekers?" Mary asked the others. "I suppose we will find out shortly," Timothy replied with a frown, clouding his usually cheerful face. As he picked up his bag, he kept his eyes fixed on the company headed their way. Stephen observed the look of concern on Timothy's face. He wondered if Timothy was thinking of Andrew's comment about demons masquerading as seekers along the road to the City of Sorcery. He remembered that story well and was determined to stay vigilant because Sorcery was the next and last city they had to pass before getting to the City of Seekers. Stephen kept his thoughts to himself as the sounds of laughter drew closer. As the four young people approached a group of seekers, Stephen noted that they all appeared to be in their early 20s. All blondes, the two young men and two young ladies, seemed to bear a resemblance to one another, and Stephen wondered if they were related. Greetings of hi and hello rang out between the two groups. "Are you headed to the City of Seekers?" Mary asked. "Yes, we are," one of the young men answered cheerily as they came to the place where the seekers were standing. "So are we," Mary replied enthusiastically. "We were just getting on our way," Stephen said abruptly. "You are welcome to join us as we travel," Stephen added as an afterthought, not wanting to appear rude. "They don't look like demons," he thought to himself. "They could be genuine seekers like us." He decided to interview them as they walked to discern the motives for their journey. The group of four introduced themselves. "My name is Rob," the tallest and eldest looking of the group stated. "This is my sister Jody and our cousins Blake and Shay." They shook hands all around as the seekers introduced themselves. The travelers began walking down the road. Stephen and Timothy walked alongside Rob, and Stephen asked, "Where are you from?" "All of us grew up in the Twin Cities, Fun City and Sports Town. Are you familiar with that area?" Rob asked. Both Stephen and Timothy shook their heads. From behind them, Mr. Rich spoke up. "I visited Fun City many years ago when my children were young," Mr. Rich said. "We went there on vacation. That city is a busy place, full of entertaining diversions, quite exhausting, as I recall." Rob chuckled. "That is true. It is both diverting and exhausting." "What exactly do you mean?" Timothy asked. "I will let my cousins describe Fun City to you because they actually live there," Rob answered. "My sister and I lived on the other side of the river in Sportstown, but truthfully, people travel back and forth as if there's no division between the two, but they each have their own unique attributes." Rob's cousin Shay jumped into the conversation. "It's true, the two cities are very connected, though each one sits on opposite sides of the Leisure River. I am sure that whoever originally built Fun City chose that spot at the widest point in the river so that those who preferred their fun activities on the water could pursue them without hindrance. If you stood on the riverbank in Fun City, you would see an abundance of sport fishing boats and jet skis roaring past paddleboarders and kayakers. During the summertime, the beaches, which are carved out of the riverbank, are crowded with vacationers drinking and dancing at the tropical-style bars that dot the sand. It is jam-packed and very noisy. During the summer months, Fun City is literally invaded by people from other cities looking for something fun to do." "Yes," interjected Shay's brother Blake, "it is like an invasion, all right, but it makes sense if you consider our town motto." "What is the town motto?" Thomas asked curiously. Shay and Blake smiled at each other and then answered in unison with syrupy, sweet, sing-song voices, "I just want to have fun." They laughed at themselves and the others joined in with them. And the visitors loved that motto. You can hear children and adults singing that line all summer long. But the truth is, it gets really old, Shay said with a shudder. Besides all the water-related activities, Blake continued, Fun City has a multitude of amusement parks filled with roller coasters, Ferris wheels, and every imaginable thrill ride. If you took one of the many hot air balloon rides and got the bird's eye view, you would see that it is a city in constant motion. Horseback riding trails and bicycling paths can be found all over the city and are in constant use. Though Fun City parents often try to interest their children in outdoor activities, most refuse to participate. They can barely lift their heads to get their parents or anyone else eye contact because they have become so addicted to entertaining themselves with games played on electronic devices given to them when they were toddlers, Blake said with the tone of disapproval in his voice. That practice of parents giving electronic devices to small children started after we were older, but even we can see how bad it is for little kids, Blake continued. Most of them can't even carry on a conversation with you because they learned how to communicate through their devices before they ever learned how to talk. That is so true, Shay affirmed. I worked in a preschool and I really noticed how delayed their verbal skills are as a result. Anyway, another thing about Fun City is that it's well known for its large entertainment district. It hosts concerts and plays and live performances every single day of the year. It also has more movie theaters than any other place in the Kingdom of Ai. Residents from Celebrity City perform at the many venues in the entertainment district. The performers are idolized and worshipped by all who watch them. It's actually disgusting because they treat them like little gods, Shay said with a look of loathing on her face, and I knew some of those performers from high school, and there's nothing godlike about them. Shay continued describing her hometown. The citizens of Fun City pride themselves in constantly inventing new and different types of amusements and diversions in order to attract people from all over the Kingdom of Ai. One of the most popular and densely populated districts in Fun City is called Fantasyland. Its residents and visitors spend every waking hour mesmerized by movies and video games that create an alternate reality for them. They often dress up as the very characters that are portrayed in their fantasy world. Many people never leave the district of Fantasyland once they visit there. But the absolute worst area of the city is the casino district, Blake said, with a tinge of anger in his voice. We despise that place because it destroyed our family and robbed us of our parents. Blake's sister nodded in somber agreement. What happened with your parents? Stephen asked gently. Blake sighed deeply before continuing his story. If you walked through the gates of Fun City, one of the first things you would notice would be an abundance of signs inviting you to the casino district. The advertisements promise easy jackpots and lots of winners. That is one big fat lie, he said, but it still manages to draw in many people. Once you enter that district of the city, lavish casinos can be found on every corner. They entice people with dazzling shows and the sound of slot machines ringing endlessly. There is some kind of evil magnetism about them because just passing by a casino on the street, a person is overwhelmed by a powerful urge to enter the building. That is what happened to our parents. They started frequenting the casino district when we were young teenagers. They gambled away all their money and eventually our family home. Then a year ago, our mother was taken as a slave to pay their gambling debts, and we have not seen her since. Our father desperately started borrowing money from all our relatives so he could gamble more, hoping to win enough money to buy her freedom. But of course, it never worked. He just ended up in more debt. Then, a month ago, he started getting death threats, warning him that he would be killed if he didn't bring the money he owed to the casino. Then 2 weeks ago, our father disappeared, Shay said. We didn't know if the people threatening him killed him or if he ran away to avoid being murdered. We went to the police and asked for their help in finding him, but they refused to investigate his disappearance. They seemed scared of the people who were threatening his life. They warned us that it was probably dangerous for us to remain in the Twin Cities area because the people who were after our father might come after us. That thought terrified us, but we didn't know where else to go since all our relatives live in either Fun City or Sportstown. Then a week ago, Blake and I had the same dream on the same night. Everyone in the group came to a halt and turned to gather around Shay as she began to recount her dream. In my dream, Blake and I had decided to leave Fun City, and we planned to sneak out after dark so no one would see us. When we got to the city gates, they opened automatically, even though no one was around to open them. We ran out of the gates and saw a man in a long white robe standing there as if he was waiting for us. Even though it was quite dark, we could see him very well because he glowed. It was very strange. We could not take our eyes off of him. He motioned to us to come with him. We began walking alongside the man, and he spoke to us very kindly. He said, "Don't be afraid. I have been sent to you by the king, and he has called you to seek him and his kingdom. You need to follow this road for many days until you reach the city of seekers. There you will be told what you must do." Blake asked him, "Who's the king, and what kingdom is there besides the kingdom of Ai?" The man looked quite serious when he answered Blake. "The king is the creator of this world, and his kingdom is called the kingdom of I Am and the kingdom of love. In his kingdom there is no fear, no hatred, and no lies." Then he pointed down the road and repeated, "You need to follow this road for many days until you reach the city of seekers. There you will be told what to do. Don't allow anyone to dissuade you from continuing on this journey." Then he disappeared and I woke up. Shay finished, looking as if retelling the story had exhausted her. Blake spoke up, "My dream was exactly the same. That is why we knew we had to leave our city right away. But we hoped that some of our family members might want to go with us. So the next morning, we went to Sportstown to talk to our relatives. Though they listened intently to our story and were sorry to hear about our father's disappearance, no one believed our dreams were anything more than the result of our own fears and anxiety. But later, our cousins, Rob and Jody," he said, motioning to them, "talked to us privately. They, too, had experienced repeated dreams about the kingdom of I Am. Their family also had dismissed them as meaningless nonsense. But they wanted to go with us on our journey, so we agreed to meet up that night outside the gates of Fun City. We waited until after dark and left our hometown, walking in the direction that the man had indicated in our dreams. Though we have been walking for days, you are the first people we have encountered who are also headed to the City of Seekers. We are so glad to have met up with you." Stephen was quietly reflective as he listened to their stories. "They weren't demons after all," he mused. "They were people just like him who were desperate to find something better than what they had known in their pitiful hometowns." Ben spoke up just as Blake finished his narrative. "My brother and I know what it feels like to lose parents," he said gently, placing a hand on Blake's shoulder. "We're sorry for what you've gone through, but we're glad we met up here and can head to the City of Seekers together," he said, smiling. Stephen watched as Ben spoke to the new Seekers. He noticed that Ben looked at Shay and Blake with an understanding and compassion that seemed to befit someone much older. He realized that Ben's life experiences had matured him faster than most. "Thank you for sharing your stories with us," Timothy said. "We are happy to have you travel with us to the City of Seekers. We should keep moving, though, as we still have several hours before dark, and we must get past the City of Sorcery before we will arrive at the City of Seekers." The group began walking again as Stephen spoke up. "Rob and Jody, would you tell us about Sportstown as we walk?" "Sure," Rob said. "Do you want to start, Jody?" he asked his sister. "No, you go ahead and explain our crazy hometown, and I'll jump in if I think of anything to add," she said with a wan smile and a nod to her older brother. Rob began to describe life in their birthplace. "Well, the simplest way to describe Sportstown is to say that everyone who lives there is nothing less than mad about sports. In fact, the town motto is, 'I live for sports.' Every season of the year, the city's consumed with sporting events. People come from across the Kingdom of Ai to follow their favorite teams and athletes with religious fanaticism. Believe me when I say their zeal knows no bounds. We were raised with our first thought in the morning being about the day's sporting events. We fell asleep thinking about the wins and losses of our favorite teams. All of the clothing in Sportstown advertises the logos of the various teams, and of course we always wore the colors of the teams to which our family was devoted, he said as he tugged on the sports shirt he was wearing. But it was the same with everyone in the city, not just our family. Anyway, in the center of the city is a huge sports temple. People bring large sums of money to sacrifice on the altar there, with the hope of obtaining season tickets for favorite sports teams, and if possible, to rub shoulders with the athletic gods that everyone worships. You could say that all the sporting events are essentially gatherings for worship. They are held in huge stadiums, with thousands of ardent worshipers who gather to watch and praise their idols with loud shouts. Saturday and Sunday are the biggest days of worship in sports town, but truthfully, so is Monday night and any other day of the week when the sports teams are playing. And to be perfectly honest, I was totally caught up in it myself, just as much as anyone. He shook his head as if amazed at the thought. At this point, Jody spoke up. If you ever visited the homes of any citizens of sports town, you would immediately notice that all the houses are decorated with sports memorabilia. Not too attractive as home decor, in my opinion, but worse than that is the fact that everyone's TVs, computers, digital devices are constantly tuned in to sports programs and sports news around the clock. Growing up, that is all we ever heard. But I think the thing that bothered me the most was watching parents force their children to play sports from a young age, even if they were uninterested. Rob and I played sports when we were kids, but we enjoyed it. But I always felt sorry for our neighbor, a little boy named Jimmy. His parents goaded him constantly to play football, baseball, and soccer, even though he repeatedly told them he didn't want to play. They would try to shame him by saying things like, "Sports are good for you. You don't want to get fat, do you?" And even though we were just kids at the time, I knew that was wrong. I always felt like those parents were more interested in reliving their own childhood sports fantasies than being truly concerned about their son having enough exercise. But that is just one small example of how obsessed everyone in Sportstown is with sports. The Seekers had all been quietly attentive while Rob and Jody told their story. When they finished, Steven asked them, "What made you decide to leave Sportstown?" Rob and Jody glanced at each other and smiled. "As Shay and Blake mentioned," Rob answered, "we both had dreams about the kingdom of I Am. Our dreams were not identical like theirs, but the content was similar and the meaning seemed clear to both of us. And the dreams kept repeating themselves. Essentially, in my dreams, I saw a king on a throne and he spoke to me. He was kind and fatherly and invited me to come and live in his kingdom. He said that the kingdom of I Am is the kingdom of love, and there's no fear or hate or lack there. In my dreams, I always told him I wanted to come live there, but I didn't know how to get there. The dream always ended the same way, with the king telling me to go to the city of Seekers, and I would be told what to do. Then I would wake up. It was the first time I seriously considered the possibility that there was more to life than sports, and I wanted it. So when Shay and Blake told us about their dreams and how the man told them which direction to head toward the City of Seekers, we were ready to join them immediately. We tried to talk to our parents about the dreams, Jody told them, but they just laughed it off as being nonsense, saying that there is no other kingdom besides the kingdom of I. And then our father asked us, "Even if there was another kingdom, why would you ever want to leave Sportstown?" Jody sighed as she recalled his question. We didn't even answer him because we didn't want to start an argument. We were really disappointed by their reaction, but Rob and I were so convinced that our dreams meant something important that we had already decided to follow the guidance in them before we ever shared the dreams with our parents. So after they made it clear that they didn't believe our dreams had any meaning, we both agreed we wouldn't discuss it with them again. We didn't want them to pressure us to stay in Sportstown. "You made a wise decision," Steven said, "and I understand the pressure you're talking about. I also had family that tried to convince me to stay in the city of respectability." "We understand about the pressure of family, too," David said to Jody. "Thomas and I are from the city of Mammon, and we lived every day under the intense pressure to conform to the culture of wheeling and dealing and conniving to get money. We knew our family would think we were crazy if we told them about our dreams and would never let us go. So we left the city under cover of darkness just to escape and pursue the kingdom of I Am." Mary spoke up. "I also know what it feels like to walk away from your family when you couldn't convince them to go with you. I left my twin sister behind, Mary said, her voice choking with emotion. She wanted to come, but she got pulled back by the pressure of other people who claimed to need her help. It still hurts my heart every single day when I think about her. But I don't regret seeking the kingdom of I Am, and you won't either. It was the right choice. Jody walked over and hugged Mary and said, thank you for that encouragement. Mr. Rich had been silent for the last few hours, taking in all the conversation and stories shared among the group of young seekers, but now he spoke up. Seems to me that there are two clear commonalities among us all. First, we all had intense dreams that served as a catalyst to consider that there was more to life than that which we knew. And secondly, each of us possessed a willingness to walk away from what was familiar and comfortable to seek what we do not yet know. I find that to be quite amazing, since it is human nature to cling to the familiar. But as for me, the most fascinating thing of all is this king. Mr. Rich paused momentarily with his eyebrows furrowed, who was somehow managed to draw us all to seek his kingdom. Stephen had listened carefully to Mr. Rich as he spoke. He observed that Mr. Rich seemed to be thinking aloud rather than addressing his remarks to any particular person in the group. Your statement about the king drawing us reminds me of something I read in the king's book. Let me find it, Timothy said as he stopped to dig the book out of his knapsack. Yes, here it is. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, giving him the desire to come to me. It is true, Mr. Rich. The king is the one who has been drawing all of you to seek his kingdom, and you have done well to respond. A voice boomed from behind them. The group spun around to find Andrew the Encourager standing in the middle of the road with that familiar hint of a smile playing on his lips. A happy chorus of Andrew rang out. Stephen glanced over at Mr. Rich, who had never met Andrew. He watched as Mr. Rich, whose eyes had widened in amazement when Andrew called him by name, narrowed his eyes and seemed to be sizing him up. I came to greet your new companions, Andrew said to the group, and to warn you to be very cautious as you approach the City of Sorcery. Andrew then welcomed each of the new seekers by name and encouraged them to remain steadfast and not allow themselves to be diverted on their journey to the City of Seekers. Darkness will be falling as you draw near to the City of Sorcery. You will be tempted to spend the night within the city gates for the convenience sake, but that would be a dangerous choice. You must keep going toward the City of Seekers, even if you encounter darkness. Many people compromise in life when they are weary or when it is inconvenient to do what they know is right. Don't give in to that temptation. Will you accompany us as we walk? Timothy asked Andrew, hopefully. No, but I will meet you at the City of Seekers. Now continue on quickly before the light fades any further, Andrew exhorted them. The group turned reluctantly and began walking away from Andrew, heading down the road toward the City of Sorcery.